Today on episode number 344, it is a gargantuanly long episode, but it is chock full of information. We're going to talk about how to save money if you want to start another podcast. We're going to have a segment about stepping back and looking at your podcast, and I'm going to kind of talk about how teachers use that to evaluate your class, and you can use it towards your podcast. We're also going to get into answering about 15 questions from listeners that are just starting a podcast.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005 and bringing my 20 plus years of training skills to the microphone, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. And this is the original podcast about podcasting. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to production to promotion and all points in between, because everything you need to start a podcast you can find in one. That's right, just one place. And that is the website, schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to connect with me, I would love to hear from you. We could actually get you on the show, get your thoughts coming through your very own speakers. It's true. My email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. My voicemail is toll-free, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. It's 888-563-3228. Or if you go out to our website, you can click on the Leave Voicemail button on the website. And of course, last but not least, you can also just leave a comment out of our website, which is schoolofpodcasting.com. And today I am joined by my co-host of the podcast review show. By the way, I was told last week that you are the Simon Cowell of podcasting. And she's also the co-host on the new podcast of mine called Healing Our Marriage. That would be my wife, Diane. Honey, thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime.
And today we're going to be talking a little later about podcasting questions. And what I've asked her to do is represent the newbie podcaster. And so if I explain something and it doesn't make any sense, she's going to throw something at me and have me say it differently.
This could be bad.
It could be bad. Now, before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out. We do shout outs here. And this is for my buddy, Robert Chaz Chute. And can I peel back the curtain here for a second? The reason, number one, Robert Chaz Chute is like one of the coolest dudes on the planet. And number two, he mentioned me in his book. How cool is that? Does that impress you, honey?
That's just
I've been mentioned awesome. In a book. And there you go. And the book is called 6 Seconds, The Unauthorized Guide to How to Build Your Business with the Vine App. And you're like, Dave, what is the Vine App? It is a smartphone app. I believe right now it's for just the iPhone, but it's from the folks at Twitter. And it allows you to make 6 seconds of video. So you can make like a little, hey, today on the show, we're going to talk about blah, blah, blah. And 6 seconds is actually longer than you probably think it is. And it's a great way to promote your podcast. I have yet to really play with it yet, but I'm hearing good things. And I just wanted to, number one, say thanks to Robert. You can find him over at All That Chaz. That's All That Chaz, 2 Z's, if you're nasty. He's got a new book out. You can find that's on the Kindle, and you can find that over at allthatchaz.com. So, Robert, thanks so much for the shout-out. I'm shouting out right back at you. And speaking of Robert, I wanted to... He actually contacted me. He's going to be starting a new podcast. And I have a tip here how you can save yourself about $8 a month, which is about what it costs to host your own website. And Robert has, he does All That Chaz, that podcast, and he's getting ready to start a new one. And he came to me and said, okay, I need to do that quick start thing again, where I'm going to go and spend another $8 a month for my website. And then you can set it up and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, actually, and we went and looked, and there are two, I recommend a company called HostGator. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting, that'll take you right over there. And they have different packages depending on what you're doing. And I believe the first one is called Baby, and the second one is called Hatchling. Well, Robert had ordered the Baby package, which just basically means I plan on having one website only. And so what I told him, and for a month, it's like $7.16. Again, not a huge amount of money. And so what he was going to do was basically order another Hatchling for another $7.16. And I said, no, what you want to do is upgrade to the Baby package. And what you can do is have more than one domain name, more than one website, for lack of a better phrase, under your one account. So it's like 80 cents more a month. It's like $7.96 a month. And it's actually less. If you buy like a year in advance, it's like $4 a month, something like that. And you can actually then have more than one website. And so I said, well, here, Robert, instead of spending $8, let's spend 80 cents. And so if you plan on having more than one podcast, or if you decide later, hey, I was only going to have one, I've got the fever, and I want to have another podcast, that is an easy way to save yourself $8 a month and have more than one podcast. People often ask me, how do I have so many podcasts and I'm not spending $8 billion in hosting fees? And that's why I have a package that lets me have more than one podcast under one hosting thing. So if you're looking to start a second podcast, don't think you have to spend another $8 a month in hosting. Check to see who your host is and see if you can upgrade to a package where you can have what are called add-on domain names. Now, if you don't have a website, please contact me. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, and just put the phrase quick start in the title, the subject line of your email. And what happens is you email me and say, hey, I'm ready for the quick start. I got my podcast idea. I'm all set to go. And I basically send you a link for HostGator that is my affiliate link, and I actually earn a commission on that. And then you get an email from HostGator saying, hey, here's all your tools to set up your website. You forward that to me. I set up your website for you. I install all the plugins, get you up and going. And then obviously you have to add the content and graphics and things like that. And I give you a free month at the School of Podcasting. And so if you're getting ready to start and you don't have a website yet, definitely check that out. And that's another way where, in that case, you would spend, whatever, $7.86 on your website. You get a free month at the School of Podcasting, and you get somebody who sets up your website, all the plugins, WordPress, all that, and you spend $7.86. You get all that stuff for free. So, Robert, good luck with the book. Again, it's called 6 Seconds, The Unauthorized Guide to How to Build Your Business with the Vine App. All right, next up, before we get into our questions, the topic I want to talk about today, kind of again with my teaching background, there's a thing, I think that's the official term for it, there's a thing, a psychology maybe, in training, and it's called the ADDIE approach. It's analyze, design, develop, or development, implementation, and then evaluation. So basically you look at what is the need of your student. You design the class, you develop it, all the materials and things like that that you need to deliver the information. Then you actually deliver the information, and then you look at how did it go, and that's called evaluation. And what you then do is you evaluate it and say, ooh, this was good, but this would have worked better. And then you go back and that's basically kind of analyzing, and you go back and you design and you develop and then you implement. And then you guessed it, evaluate and blah, 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 lather, rinse, repeat. And so my wife is here today, and we are getting ready to record episode number four of the Healing Our Marriage podcast. And I went back and listened to episode 3, and this is something I always recommend people listening to your podcast. Number one, before you upload it, to make sure there's no just giant snafus in it where there's, you know, hey, there's 20 seconds of nothing in the middle of it, or you forgot to do something or add your ID3 tags. Always listen to it before you upload it. But also, I went back later and decided to not listen to it as Dave, the podcast person, and listening for, you know, is the volume level right and things like that, but listen to it from a content perspective. And one of the first things I noticed, probably because I'm used to just doing a solo podcast like this one, is, boy, for a duo co-host kind of podcast, I barely let my wife get a word in edgewise. Would you say that's true?
Amen.
Yeah, you go. So some things I wanted to talk about this. It's never a bad idea to step back and try to, for lack of a better phrase, take your brain out and listen to it through the eyes of a new podcaster. This is actually one of the things we do on the Podcast Review Show, which is at podcastreviewshow.com. The first thing I thought of this when you're evaluating your podcast is, number one, right now we are in a quiet office. I've got headphones on and we've got the heater off. We've got the air conditioning off if you're on the West Coast, and you're listening in a very quiet room, and then you're going to hear every little thing that is going on. And so realize one of the things you have to do is listen, for lack of a better phrase, where you listen. I listen to most of my podcasts in the car. I listen while I'm walking the dog. I listen on the treadmill. None of those places are quiet. There's always background noise. There's always something going on like that. And so consequently, the little noises that you hear and you go, oh, did you could hear him breathing there or something like that. Nobody's going to notice that in the car. It's just going to completely just blend in with the background. So you can be kind of hypercritical. And that's one of the things, as much as I say, you need to step back and kind of observe your podcast. You can go way too far with that and just go, oh, did you hear that lip smack? Or did you hear this or that? Don't go crazy with that.
Oh, you mean like you do?
Yes, exactly. And then you want to ask, is there anything I could do better though? So on one hand, you have just crazy evaluation and looking for, you know, you're looking for something negative. I'm not going to feel like I'm successful until I find something negative to find out. It doesn't have to do that. But on the other hand, is there something you could be doing better? So in my case, when I listened, I was like, wow, I introduced the show because my wife's new to podcasting and I'm not sure if I said, here, honey, introduce the show and kick it off if you'd be ready to do that. But I kick it off, I introduce the topic and I just keep going. And then, I don't know, about the 20 minute mark, you finally get a peep in. And I went, yeah, this is almost like just me. And now this particular episode is me talking and you're here to go, and you're doing a great job at that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing a podcast with a co-host, my buddy Daniel J. Lewis over at the Audacity to Podcast just did an episode about doing a show with a co-host. And check that out over at the Audacity to Podcast. Great guy, great episode. But that's one of the things you can do. Is there something I can do better? You know, if you're listening and there's a bunch of hiss or noise, you know, go back and look at your recording levels. It actually, before I hit record, I spent about 28 minutes getting my notes ready, getting volume levels right and things like that. And ask yourself, wow, there's a lot of hiss here. And why is that? Well, maybe you're recording too soft. And then what happens is when you boost that volume, not only do you boost your actual voice, but you boost the hiss. So is there something here I could do better? Could I be getting to the point sooner? Am I basically saying the same thing over and over and over? I listened to a podcast this week. It was an hour long and the first 20 minutes were great. I really liked it. I learned a lot. And then the second 20 minutes, they kind of rehashed the first 20 minutes. And the last 20 minutes, they rehashed the same. They really had 20 minutes of material that they just repeated three times, which is actually a radio trick. If you listen to most sports shows, they'll do about a 11-minute segment. And they come back and their next segment is, all right, we were talking about such and such and such. And then they kind of rehash it again. This is not radio. Podcasting is not radio. People are busy. And get to the point. And is there anything you can do better? I mentioned earlier your volume levels. We talked last week in episode number 343 about off-phonic, that lovely, what do you think of when you hear the phrase off-phonic?
Sounds like something with sound.
Okay.
Cause I see a record.
Yeah. To me, I said, it sounds like something you scream when you hit your hand with a hammer, like, ah, phonic. And I don't know. No, that's just me being weird.
That's you being weird.
Okay. So check your volume levels. There is a tool out there. And the cool thing about off phonic versus, not that the levelator is bad. The levelator, you have to be in front of your computer to use. And it's actually loads on your hard drive and it has to be a WAV file or an AIFF file. And with off-phonic, you can actually level out and adjust your audio, even if it's an MP3 file, where with the levelator, you have to convert your MP3 file to a WAV file and then levelate it and then convert it back to an MP3 file. With the off-phonic tool, you can actually just basically levelate your MP3 file. So we talked about that last week, but that would be something you want to check out. Check out your volume levels, see if it's condensed. And then just kind of check your flow. Does it flow? Does one kind of transition go into another? One of the things I do with my podcast, and by all means, you don't have to do this, but it's what I do. If you want to steal this technique, when I'm getting to an end of a segment, kind of like now, I start fading in music. Because if you're listening to something, because again, it always comes back to you, the listener, and I want to make your life easier. So for some reason, you're listening to a topic and you're not into it, just fast forward till you hear the music, and that will be the end of that segment, kind of like now. So those are some thoughts. take some time. In the football world, they talk about watching the game tape and learning from your past episodes. Don't hesitate on occasion to step back and go, is there anything I could be doing to do this better? And bring it back to the microphone with new vim and vigor and step up your game. All right, next up, I got a gaggle, I got a bushel, I got a slew. Is that an actual word, slew?
A steamboat full.
A steamboat full of questions. And we're just going to go through these. This is actually from Jan Mills. And she says, I always refer to you by Lou. Everybody say Lou.
Lou.
There you go. Lou Mangiello, who does WDW Radio. Now, Lou is like, he's in one of those nicest guy on the planet kind of categories. And you can hear my interview with Lou. This is a guy that was a lawyer from New Jersey, quit his day job as a lawyer, moved his family to what he was passionate about, which is Disney, and does a podcast about Disney. And that is his sole job now. And he's selling books and writing books. And you can find more about Lou. Go to powerofpodcasting.com/15. Or if you just want to go listen to his podcast, it's WDW Radio. And a really great podcast success story. In this case, Jan says, I am thinking about creating my own Disney/movie podcast to post on iTunes. And I had a few questions as a beginner. And I thought maybe you could help me out with that. And so she has a couple quick questions. And I'm like, hey, I'm just going to share this with the audience. Because if Jan is thinking it, you're probably thinking it. And my wife is here to make sure I explain these in understandable language. So the first question, is it illegal to put Disney music behind audio of people talking? This one's easy to explain.
Yes.
Yes, it is. And I've had people say, hey, Dave, on your Healing Our Marriage podcast, you play that Jason Mraz song. Is that illegal? And you know what the answer is?
Yes.
Yes, it is. And then, Dave, why are you doing it? I'm probably going to change that later. It's one of those things I thought I would do and see what would happen. If you're a new person to the podcast, I do that a lot. I play with every kind of tool. I play with every kind of scenario, even in some cases, if it's illegal. So in this case, do as I say, which is don't put illegal music in your podcast, not as I do. That is the only podcast I've ever done that uses music. And without getting too deep into this, here's the problem. It's the fact that you can download it. This is, again, where radio and podcasting is different. You have the songwriter, you have the performer, you have the people that own rights to the music, so like the record label. And to actually play that, you need all three of those people to say, yeah, it's fine. So that's why if it's music, then it's streamed and people can't go back and listen to it later. So by giving it as a download, it creates basically a giant headache. Now, where do you get your Disney music sound and audio? And the answer for this is the same place you get kind of regular music and audio. Come on, it's Disney. These people are the masters of marketing. So every movie, I'm assuming, has some sort of soundtrack to it. If you have the DVD, and what you can do to rip the sound from a movie, and again, I'm not sure exactly how legal that is. If you have a portable recorder, like right now I'm using the Roland R-05, there's a cable that you can plug in. It's basically a 3.5 millimeter or 1/8 inch, however you want to say that, male on both ends. And you plug one end in your headphone out, and you plug the other end into the line in of your recorder. And whatever you're playing on your computer goes right into your recorder, and then you just plug the headphones in. And when you hit record, you can hear what's going on. So if you wanted to take movie clips, things like that, there's also a website, snipmp3.com. So if you have videos on YouTube that you want to take the audio from, you basically copy the location to that video. So like when you click on the share button with YouTube, you just paste that into snipmp3. You have to say, yes, I agree, blah, blah, blah. And you can download the audio from that. But that's where you can, you know, I'm assuming that they have some sort of soundtrack that you can use, again, illegally. Question number three from Jan. How do you know if the music is low enough for listeners to hear you talk over it, but loud enough to hear the music? To this, I have two points. The first one sounds like I'm being a smart aleck, and I'm really not. You listen to it. A lot of people say, look, I'm not a sound engineer. I don't know anything about this mixing thing, but when you're in the car and you're listening to the radio and somebody calls on your cell phone, if you answered in the car, if that's legal to do in your state or wherever you're at, a lot of times you'll turn down the radio just enough to where you can still kind of hear the radio, but yet talk on the phone. Well, you've just mixed audio. And that's really what it comes down with. I am not a huge fan of podcasting live. All the music that you hear today that's getting faded in, I'm adding later simply for the fact that I have absolute, complete, 100% control where it starts, when it stops, and how loud it is. And I don't have to do that on the fly. I don't have to, like right now, we are about 24 minutes into this podcast, and if I hit a button and bam, the music was way too loud, I'd have the situation of, okay, do I start from the beginning? Do I leave it in and hope that I don't blow your speakers? Or, you know, how do you do that? There are other options there. So that's one of the reasons why I'm not a huge fan of live podcasting. But so you can go in and add the music later and just the volume that way. And so there's that. And for me, it's about, I believe it's minus 12 to minus 15 decibels. But again, don't, when you go to listen to your podcast, do not, I'm going to call it mix by numbers and mix by, don't mix with your eyes, mix with your ears. So there are times when I've had people that in theory, they're just as loud as I am based on the way the lights blink. But for whatever the reason, maybe they have kind of a softer kind of voice, kind of thing. And it just isn't as clear. You might have to bump them up a little bit. So mix with your ears, not with your eyes. And then again, this is where we talked about at the beginning, listening to your podcast in a scenario where it's a standard listening place, whether it's your car or whatever. Then the other question I'm going to say, if you want people to hear the music and you want them to hear the voice, pick something. Because in true fashion, as a trainer, I always teach people about multitasking. And one of the kind of myths of multitasking is, in theory, you're really not more productive when you multitask. Like if you try to do your homework, when I tell my students about doing homework and things like that, don't do the homework in front of the TV. People think they can. And what happens is you, whatever problem you're looking on or whatever, and you're doing that, and then you go up and you're watching whatever, Gilligan's Island reruns, and you see there's Ginger and Marianne, whatever, and then you look back down, and then you go up, and you're basically doing two things, and you're switching back and forth so quickly that it seems like you're actually doing them at the same time. You're not. What you're doing is you're switching back and forth really, really fast, and it would just be much easier if you just did one and then did the second one. So my point here is, if you want people to hear the music, then play the music. If you want them to hear what you're saying, then do that and maybe mix in the music later. I personally find it somewhat, especially if there are words to the music, it drives me kind of batty. If I hear somebody, I used to listen to a podcast where they would play the song, like they'd be interviewing an artist about, hey, tell me about the song, whatever, you know, Guitar Case in the Corner. And the guy like, yeah, I wrote Guitar Case in the Corner down in Nashville, and it was a great song. And I looked over and saw my guitar case in the corner and I started writing a song about it. Well, while they're interviewing him, they're playing the awesome smash hit, Guitar Case in the Corner, and you're trying to listen to the song while you're listening to the dude, and that just does not work. So especially if you're going to be playing background music, my personal opinion, I'm not a huge fan of words in the background music, because then I have to pick, what am I going to listen to? The words? Because music is meant to connect with people, and you connect via words and obviously rhythm and melody, but the words are a way you connect. And I can't hear the words because that stupid guy's talking over it. So that would be my other tip on that. Pick what you want to do there. Do you want them to hear the music? Do you want them to hear the interview? And do one or the other. And then the cool thing with some soundtracks, they actually have the music from the movie. There's the soundtrack, which has all the hits with the Black Eyed Peas and whatever else on it. And then there's actually the musical soundtrack, which is the dramatic music. That would be kind of cool for background music, in the event, of course, it was legal, which it's not. So we're always going to be going back to that. I'm not a lawyer. I don't even play one on TV. All right, next question from Jan. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. My wife is enthralled here. what type of server do you use to host your podcast? All right. Here's the fun thing. You have a dentist. My wife is almost rolling her eyes because I'm going into an analogy. You love my analogies, don't you?
Oh, just love.
You have a dentist who works on your teeth. He's specialized in fixing teeth. Now, he's probably, or she, is a very nice person. But if I go in and say, yeah, I need a new water pump for my car, I'm not going to the dentist. Now, my dentist may know how to do that, but in theory, I should probably take it to my mechanic. So, consequently, I talked about HostGator. Now, what do? They host websites. I like HostGator. I've heard about Bluehost. Bluehost is great. The only thing I dislike about Bluehost, to get that cool low, low price, you have to buy a year's worth of hosting. Well, what if you start a podcast, you buy a year's worth of hosting, and, I don't know, 4 months into it, you go, yeah, this isn't going to work.
And how much is a year of podcasting hosting?
That would be about $7 times 12, so we're looking at $84, $96 a year. And some people are like, you know, that's a lot of money for some people. Well, what if you could just spend the $786 and, you know, 4 months in, you're like, oh, this isn't working for me. I'm going to start another podcast. Well, you're out $28 versus the $96. So consequently, coming back to my analogy, bringing it back around, use a web host for your website. Use a media host for your audio files. And this is where I had somebody this week on the chat window that really, really, really wanted to podcast for free. And I asked them the question, and this sounds kind of snarky, and I don't really want to be snarky, but if you... We've all been podcasting now since 2005. That's when podcasting was invented. Answer this question. If there was a way that you could have a website with great sounding audio and great looking graphics and speedy downloads that always delivered with stats and do it for free, in the 8 years of podcasting, don't you think someone would have figured that out by now? And that sounds snarky, but it's kind of true. So if you're trying to podcast for free, do me a favor, stop. It's only 20 some bucks a month to start a podcast. It's less than a dollar a day. So with that, a media host is somebody that specializes in delivering audio or video files. And there are two companies that I use. One is called Libsyn. That's Libsyn.com. That is, if you're listening to this show, this is hosted on a Libsyn server where I go in and I can see how many stats I had and how many downloads and where they came from and what they're listening on. And that's anywhere from $5 a month. Actually, I recommend the $7 a month because then you get stats. And if you publish like, you know, a 5 hour podcast every day, then you can go up to like insane amounts of money per month. But typically it's $15 to $20 a month. Another host that I recommend is Blueberry. It's BLUBRRY.com. Again, dedicated media server. Both companies started by podcasters for podcasters. Both deliver great stats. Blueberry has an interface where you do everything within WordPress and they add ID3 tags. Libsyn, you can actually publish directly from WordPress, from within Libsyn if you want to do that. They're both fairly easy. They're both great. They both have pros and cons, and I've talked about that in the show, but consequently, who do I use for my hosting was the original question. I use HostGator for my web hosting. And again, if you don't have a website, do not go over and just order hosting. Contact me. Say, Dave, I need a website. I will send you a link. You order that. I earn a very nice commission. And I will say thank you a lot when you do that. And then I'll set up WordPress for you. It's awesome. So that's who I use. And then I use either Libsyn or Blueberry for my media hosting. So don't try to, hey, can I host my media on my website hosting? Because it says unlimited bandwidth. That's unlimited bandwidth for web pages. I just helped somebody with the Quick Start program. If you go to spentradio.com, he was on wordpress.com, a free podcast place, decided, hey, it's time to take this to everybody's favorite phrase. It's time to take it to the next level. And, he moved over to a self-hosted WordPress and he registered spentradio.com with HostGator. He did the Quick Start package and HostGator called him because they saw he was a podcast and politely said, "What is your intention for this website?" And he explained that he was using a media host because he listened to Dave, and they were like, "Cool." So realize when you see web hosting packages that say unlimited bandwidth, that's for web pages. They're not talking about media files. So that's who I use for that. And again, if you're going to be doing that route, if you're going to be setting up a website, let me take the hassle out of it for you, and I will be more than happy to help you with that. Number five, what type of microphone do you use for recording? Honey, say something. Read the rest of question number five.
How do you make sure your audio is loud as others who are recording with you?
Okay. So what we did is I had my wife read that. I'm talking into a roughly $300 microphone. It's called the Electrovoice RE320. I got this microphone basically by bartering with Electrovoice. They let me review it. And then when I went to ship it back, they go, "Do you want to buy it?" And I said, "Would you like to sponsor the podcast?" And we worked out a deal where I talked about it for about a month. And I got to keep the microphone for free. If I was buying this microphone today, not that I dislike this microphone, but I would just save about $250 and buy the microphone that my wife is talking into. It's the Audio Technica 2100. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2100, so schoolofpodcasting.com/2100, that microphone now, I checked as of today, and I'm recording this. It is February 24th, $37. And it sounds just as good. And you can plug it in two different ways. Right now, we're going into a mixer, which we'll be talking about here in a second. Or you could just plug it directly into your computer. So the question is, how do we get... So that's the microphone I recommend. Above all, Audio Technica 2100, $37 at Amazon. Go buy it now. Step one, buy a microphone. Get it. It's really that. Now, how do I make sure the levels are right? Well, what I'm doing right now is on a... You have a mixer, and the reason they call it a mixer is because right now, as I look at this, my volume level with my microphone is about at 9 o'clock. My wife, who talks a little quieter than I do most of the time.
You're so cute.
Is about 11 and a half o'clock, and she's got a little more bass on her voice, and so a mixer allows you to make sure that everybody's volumes are the same. Now, the other thing a mixer allows me to do is this is going, my microphone is in channel one. Her microphone is in channel two. It goes out of the mixer. And this could go directly into your computer, not my recommended setup. In my case, it goes into my Roland R-05. And I actually have me going all the way into the left channel. That's the only thing right now. It's just me. And if you're listening on headphones and you're listening to with me right now, you would just hear me in the left channel. Now, you're listening to me now after I've done all my fun-filled fancy stuff, so I'm in both speakers. But right now, I'm just in the left channel, and my wife is in the right. Now, the reason for that is because in the event she has to sneeze or cough or whatever, I can go ahead and edit that out without adjusting my volume. So it's very easy to do editing. Now, what if we had four people in here? Well, I can't have somebody in the left and the right and then the other left and the other right. There are tools out there that let you do that. It's called multi-track recording. But if that was the case, when I used to do Today in Podcasting with Rob Walsh and Gary Leland and a number of people, Paul Culligan, we would take, again, about 10 to 15 minutes in some cases of people going, "Say something. Say something." Didn't we just had that, right? You were getting quite annoyed with that process.
Yes, I was.
And so I finally just gave her a newspaper and said, "Here, read this." Because she was, you know, stating the Pledge of Allegiance and everything else. And I would look at, I would adjust her volume up on the mixer and make sure. Now, as I look at mine right now, I'm going about between -6, which sounds really weird. In audio, what you want to shoot for is 0. The top, see the little blinky light? Okay, I want that. When that goes all the way up to where I want it, it goes to 0. Sounds weird. All the way up to 0. And when you talk, your little blinky light comes down here. And again, want you up to be about as loud as I am. And then this little red light up here, I really don't want that to blink too often because that means I've gone over 0. And it's kind of like, sorry, it's called peaking. And so you don't want to peak. And so I adjust that to about as loud as I could get without making the little red light blink. And then I adjust my wife's mic until she talks, and then until the little red light blinks, and then I back it down to where the little red light doesn't blink. And that, in theory, makes everybody about the same volume. Now, the other thing that we do here in Smells Like Chicken Studios is I have what are called noise gates and compressors. Now, what a compressor does is the things that are loud get squished so they're not quite as loud, and the things that are soft get boosted just a little bit. So that means I can move my mouth. I'm actually, as I talk now, I'm moving my mouth around the microphone, and in theory, if I didn't have a compressor, I would be getting quieter, but the compressor is boosting that up. So it gives me a little headway to move around the microphone. And then the other thing is a noise gate, and I'm going to turn my wife's off. Let me see where you're at. Okay. Yeah. Now, this is one of those things that's kind of funny because I have headphones on and right now I can hear the background noise, but I bet most people that are now listening on a treadmill have no idea what I'm talking about. So just say anything.
You mean you're actually asking me to talk?
Yes.
Oh, how nice of you.
So breathe. Okay. So now if I turn this up, keep breathing. Yeah. Okay. It's a whole different kind of podcast now. All right. So I can actually, there you go. Now I can't hear her breathing. Now, if you talk,
hello,
there you go. I can hear her talking, but I've cut out her breathing. So that's what a noise gate does. It says, look, anything that's not at least as loud as this voice, block it. So if she's breathing or things like that, that's what's called a noise gate. Now, do I need that to start a podcast? Absolutely not. Because again, most of the noise that we just cut out is nothing. And it sounds like it because you hear a little reverb off the walls and things like that. But again, if I listen to that in a car, on the treadmill, walking the dog, in my cubicle, I'm not going to notice that. There are those people that are like, no, it needs to be pristine, professional sounding quality. And I'm like, I get that. That's my goal. But to me, I'm shooting for listenable. Can I listen to this? Or does it sound like somebody frying bacon underwater? Does that make sense? See, it's hard for you because you don't have headphones. That would be
yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. So that would be the other thing I would say. If you're doing co-host, make sure everybody has headphones because right now my wife does not. And that's not fair. So, and you can buy a headphone amplifier for that, for the record, where you basically take your headphone out, plug it into the little gizmo. That's the technical term for that. And that then splits the headphones. So everybody has their own volume and things like that. So that's how you, and again, it sounds really, people talk about audio mixing. And it's literally just, I run the sound system in my church. And when there are weeks when I don't run the sound system and somebody be like, here, I need to show you how to run the sound system. And they walk back and they see boatloads of knobs and they're like, yeah, I can't do that. I'm like, hold on a second. See this one? It's volume. And when somebody walks up to the microphone, you push it up to here. And when they're done, you turn it down to here. And they're like, okay, what else do I need to know? I go, that's it. You're done. That's how you mix. And if you can't hear them, you turn them up. And if they're too loud, you turn them down. It's really, don't get hung up on the, oh my gosh, it's podcasting. It's new. You mix all the time in your car with your radio. Next up, number six, if you use Skype for recording, what system do you use to record with? Now, here's the cool thing about Skype. If you're new to Skype, Skype is a free service that we use a lot to converse with, in my case, my stepdaughter, my wife's daughter in South Carolina. You can talk to anybody on the planet. I've talked with Mike Russell, right, from musicradiocreative.com, and he's across the pond. And he sounds like he's sitting right next to me. So Skype is free. You plug a microphone into it and you can talk to anybody. Now, if you go to like Skype with grandma and grandma doesn't have a computer, you can subscribe to what's called Skype Pro. And it's something like somewhere between $30 and $50 a year. Every time I go back, the price kind of changes and you can actually dial a telephone from your computer so that you sound all cool because you got the big cool microphone, the $37 you know, Audio Technica 2100, you sound awesome, but the other person sounds like they're on the phone. Now, with that said, there is nothing you can do to make a telephone sound like a microphone. You just can't. A phone is a phone is a phone. And by design, it cuts out the bass response. And by design, it cuts out the upper, you know, sibilance sounds. So it sounds kind of like this. And if you try to make a telephone sound like a microphone, you are not going to do it. Garbage in, garbage out. So avoid making, if you can, phone calls, calling a phone. But sometimes that's just not an option, right? And if that is the case, have that person be on a landline if possible. And again, these days, kind of hard to find. So what do I record with? The number one foolproof way to record a Skype call is not with software. If you're on a Mac, there is a thing, I believe it's called Call Recorder, that works, but it is software. On a PC, I use a thing called PowerGramo. It is software. And the problem with software on a computer is everybody that uses it has a thing. I just worked with a client of mine. She did an interview. PowerGramo works all the time. It's great. It's wonderful. She sent me the file. The person she interviewed is not on the call. And the answer for that is it's a computer. Because she went back and did another recording and it was fine. So what was the answer there? Did she do something? It's a computer. That's just, it's kind of weird, but that's kind of the truth. So I always record my Skype calls. The foolproof way is, again, I talked about this earlier, that little jack that goes from your headphone out into your portable recorder. And then what you do is you plug your headphones into the total recorder. And I've got a video on this. If you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/DaveTube, the title of it is The Easy Way to Record Skype. And what this does is what you hear is what is being recorded with PowerGramo. And I'm not sure so much with Call Recorder, but in theory, what you hear is what's being recorded. And we're finding out that in some cases, not so much. So on the PC, I use PowerGramo as my backup. And for the record, 99.9% of the time, it makes a great recording. But if I record something and I go, you know, for whatever reason, PowerGramo just kind of wigged out on me, then I've got my recording with my portable recorder. And so if I had to pick one or the other, I would go with the portable recorder because that never fails me. Whatever I hear is what I'm recording. Now, a portable recorder is going to run you anywhere from $99 to $300. I use the Roland R-05 because it's got big giant letters on it and I can read it. The bad news about electronics, they like to make things small, but I can't read that stuff. So that's what I use for that. I don't use Pamela. I've tried that. There is one called, on the PC, I think it's called Total Recorder. That's awful. I've used some free, there's a bunch, if you just Google like free Skype recorder, I've used a few of those. And again, here we go, using software, I have had a few interviews, or in some cases, it's just I record client calls so they don't have to take notes. And it just, for whatever reason, because it's software, you find out later that it turned to gibberish. And so, especially with free software, sometimes you get what you pay for. All right. How do you copyright your podcast? Well, number one, I'm not a lawyer. But the good news is, what I've read about it, is when you publish something and it's in a recorded format, it's copyrighted. It is just flat out, it is. As soon as you record a song and you put it out technically, and by technically, I mean, if you have to go to court, you have to hire a lawyer. Technically, it's copyrighted. But you can, you know, if you wanted to, at the end of every podcast, you could say, this podcast is copyrighted School of Podcasting 2013, just to remind people. But if you, and I know this from being a musician, and I've read books on music publishing, and it used to be in the past, a musician would put their music on a CD, put it in an envelope, and then mail it to themselves. This was called the poor man's copyright. So if somebody later stole their song and they had a big hit, you would have a stamped envelope to yourself. You would mail it to yourself. And you could say, look, on this date, this is when this song was actually sealed. It was created. And you could say, you stole my song. They called it the poor man's copyright. And from what I understand today, once you have something in a finished recorded file format, it, quote, is copyrighted. Now, what you do is you go to the things like the, there are different agencies and things like that, that you can go through and copyright. My question for that would be, why are you worried about copywriting your podcast? That would be, so send me a follow-up question on that and we can maybe dig into the deeper, the motivation behind that. What do you use to edit your audio? GarageBand? And the answer is, unfortunately, I'm not cool enough to own a Macintosh computer. So I don't use GarageBand. If I was on a Mac, I probably would use GarageBand or Audacity. Audacity is free. And I know you just said, but Dave, you said free software is kind of, you get what you pay for. And for the record, Audacity is much better than it was when it started in 2005 when I started using it. I don't use it. I find Audacity's interface a bit clunky. And so I'm just not a huge fan, but it's not horrible. It's definitely usable. What I actually used for many years, I used a program called Mixcraft for the PC. They, again, added more and more and more and more features to it, to where there were so many things you're like, look, I just need to know how to, this is all you need to know how to do. Insert a file, how to adjust the volume, how to reposition it, and then how to export it as a MP3 file. So I quit using that software, and then I switched to, it's called Sony Acid Music Studio. And you could actually get it. If you go to schoolpodcasting.com/Amazon, click on the software option, you can actually see the programs that I've used. And if I wasn't using the program, which I'll talk about in a second, what I use now, I would be using Sony Acid Music Studio. It's only $40 as I look at this on Amazon right now. And it's a great program. It's very powerful. Again, a lot of tools that you're probably not going to use, but it's pretty easy to do. So that's what I would use. Now, what am I using? I'm using, it's called Adobe Audition. And it's very super jumbo deluxe powerful. And it's got a lot of great tools. Again, many that you may never use. It actually has a built-in editor where you can edit out ums and you knows and things like that. And then it's got this multi-track mixing down function all in one software. It's also around $300. And the only reason I'm using this is one of my listeners was moving from a PC to a Mac. Well, originally Adobe Audition didn't work on a Mac. And so they said, hey, Dave, I got this software. It's really great. I'm not going to be using it because I'm moving to a Mac. Do you want it? And I said, yeah. And so that's how I have this software. So thank you very much to another benefit, again, of podcasting, connecting with your audience and things like that. So save me some money in that. It's actually a great software, but do I need to spend $300? Not starting out, I would. No, unless you got the budget for it, I would actually use Audacity is a good free option. Works on both PC and Mac. And I've got tutorials on how to use Audacity at the School of Podcasting. I've got some tutorials on GarageBand. GarageBand is a great program. The only thing about GarageBand, keep in mind with this, it's an Apple product. And by default, it's going to want to make an Apple-specific file. It's going to make some sort of MP4. You want to do MP3s, which you can actually go in. I show you how to do that at the School of Podcasting. So be careful with GarageBand. It's going to try to rope you into making an Apple-specific file. So either one is work. You don't need super powerful stuff. You're not really doing anything that crazy. And both with Audition and to a certain extent with GarageBand, you can do editing. You can edit out ums and nos and things like that. The other thing I use is Sony SoundForge. And I do this for a lot of my, I do audio editing for people. And the thing I like about this software, and you can do this in Audacity as well, is I can listen at a faster speed. And so I go in and edit out ums and you knows, and then I can do things like, there's actually a noise gate that we talked about earlier. You can do that with software. And so I use that. It's a great program. And that one goes for about $40 as well. So I do, if I'm going to do nitty gritty splicing out ums and you knows and that kind of editing, I do Sony SoundForge, and again, I'm on a PC, and then I would be mixing it down with Sony Acid Music Studio. So that is the 8 question from Jan. Jan, when you're ready to start your podcast again, feel free to send me an email with the title Quick Start in the title, and we will get your Disney podcast up and running. Thank you so much for those. We got some more right around the corner.
Are you the person in charge of your website? Then come check out the Weekly Web Tools podcast at weeklywebtools.com. Each week, we spotlight and review tools. We discuss strategies on web design and promotion. We talk a little SEO, all with the intent of enhancing your website. The Weekly Web Tools podcast. It's the podcast for the do-it-yourself webmaster. Check it out at weeklywebtools.com.
All right, I got these questions from Tim Wilson, who's a member of the School of Podcasting, and he was looking at some of my Audacity tutorials, and he said, Dave, is there a reason you don't use the auto-duct feature on Audacity to make the music duck in and out when you're speaking? Because I use a thing called the envelope tool, and he says it seems kind of long-winded in the comparison. Well, are you ready for this, Tim? I'm not a huge power user of Audacity. I mentioned, I always tell people how to adjust the volume, how to insert MP3s, how to export to the right format, and how to reposition files so you can have the music come in and things like that. And I will have to dig into that feature in Audacity. It sounds easier. And I do, I'm actually going to do something that's just bizarre. You ready for bizarre, honey?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to promote. Now, here I am telling you to join the School of Podcasting. And I'm going to tell people about something that isn't going to make me a dime.
Wow.
And that is
shocking.
That is shocking. My buddy, Daniel J. Lewis, on March 9th, is doing a live webinar on Audacity. And I'm going to actually contact Daniel and say, can I come to this? Because maybe it would make me a power user. Because I don't use Audacity every day, which Daniel does. And I know enough in Audacity to people get up and go in and to make their podcast, make it sound great, make it sound professional. But maybe there's more in Audacity that I could learn and then pass on to my students. And I'm kind of worried about that because technically, if everybody could put up their air quotes, Daniel is my competition. But he is actually doing a live webinar on March 9th. You can find that over at theaudacitypodcast.com. And he's got a button there for it. It's 60 minutes of personal training and, so if you're interested in getting more than just, because this, again, this is what I teach people, and I teach people how to install Audacity, how to add the plugins. I teach people how to insert the audio that came off your portable recorder or record directly into Audacity, how to adjust that volume, how to reposition the sounds and things like that. And Daniel may be doing more than that, and I talk about exporting. So if you're looking to do that, and you're like, well, Dave, why would I do that? Well, number one, Daniel's a nice guy. And by the way, because I know Dan, I listen to Daniel's show. He listens to mine. Daniel, there's no reason to replug me as a shout out back. No, just I appreciate what you do. And so if you want to check that out, go check out my buddy Daniel, because he's helped me with in the past. I've spoken at Podcast Cincinnati, and we touched base in Vegas. And if Daniel's doing it, I'm sure it's not going to be a hack job. So, but I will definitely, based on Tim's knowledge, this is how knowledge gets added at the School of Podcasting. If somebody finds something, all my members are out, hey, did you know about this? Did you know? That's how I kind of find out about Allphonic. I have a lot of companies. I have members of the School of Podcasting. I have listeners like you that feed me things. And then I just go ahead and share it with everybody. So I'll be checking into the auto duck feature, which has nothing to do with actual, you know, chicks or things like that. There's no kind of quacking going on here. So, Tim, thank you for that question. I'll be looking into that and expect a tutorial soon at the School of Podcasting on auto ducking. His second question, most of the podcasts I've listened to have co-host. I plan to do solo host, but I'm worried that it might be too much me just talking for a long period. Do you have any advice on this topic on the site? I talk about host and co-host and the pros and cons of each. I always tell people, when it comes to talking too long, now my last segment was 8 questions that took almost an hour to do. And I could have broken each one of those questions down into its own segment and made this really 3 weeks of podcasting. Here's 20-minute segments. But I got them in once. I wanted to answer all of Jan's questions. So it's weird when I do presentations, when I do live public speaking, people think it's hard to do a long presentation. So if somebody says, hey, you've got an hour, get up and talk, I'm like, cool. Because for me, well, as you might imagine, I like to talk. Go ahead. You're dying to say something.
No words. No words necessary.
Right. Okay. But if somebody says you have 30 minutes, that's actually harder to take the same topic and condense it down to 30 minutes. So what do? You have to figure out, what is it I'm really trying to say here? What are the things that really people need to hear? What is the wow factor? What is the thing that people are going to go, man, that was awesome? That's actually harder, but it actually, you then build in filters to do that. So when I look at this right now, I've been talking for 59 minutes and 34 seconds, which means we need to wrap this up, which we are here in a second. And look down. And if you've been talking for 20 minutes on one subject, ask yourself, number one, am I repeating myself? You know, I have bullet points of things I'm going to be talking about. It helps me keep on track. And as you heard in this episode, I occasionally take the rabbit trail and I go off topic, but try to stay on topic, things of that nature, and say exactly what you need to say and not one word more. His last question here. I notice you do Christian podcasts. That is what I hope to do. It's very crowded in this market, and I wonder if there are any specific tips you have to the genre. Yes, and before everybody gets, oh, he said the C word. All right, Christian. Here's the key to whatever genre you're in. If you're doing an atheist podcast, if you're doing a Christian podcast, if you're doing a podcast about guitar cases in the corner, and I keep saying that because I have a guitar case in the corner. If you're doing a podcast about anything, here is my number one piece of advice, and that is, content is king. If you make content that people go, wow, like I was listening to Robert Chaz Chute, to go back to the beginning of the podcast, and he was talking on All That Chaz, I got to check this out, that the guy that shot Martin Luther King, that whatever his name is, James Earl Jones. No, that's Darth Vader. Robert Chaz Chute. No, what is all these people with three names? People are shouting at their dashboard right now. Sirhan, Sirhan.
You're just not cool. You don't have three names.
Who is the guy that shot Martin Luther King? We'll put you on the spot.
Martin Luther King. I have no idea.
Oh, all right. Well, here we go. I'm going to put this in here. And James Earl Ray. I knew it was three names. Well, I listened to Robert Chaz Chute, and he explains that apparently, through the court system, there was a civil suit, and James Earl Ray did not kill Martin Luther King. But every Martin Luther King Day, you know, we're all talking about, yeah, and he was assassinated, James Earl Ray. And apparently, I need to do this, but Robert did some investigating and said, yeah, he goes, here, I was listening to George Robb, who does the Geologic podcast. And everybody's like, wow, it's so bizarre. And here we go. We're talking religion here. This is going to give me a lot of letters. And I have nothing against Catholics. But according to George Robb, send your hate letters to George Robb, that he explains that there's a movie out that just came out. And we're going to kind of get off the subject here. But the idea here is wow content, okay? Because you're like, what does this have to do with podcasting? Stick with me. Because there's a key point here coming up. George talks about how there was a club, a school for the deaf, and it was run by the Catholic whatever. And the head people at this school molested basically everybody because these people couldn't talk to say, hey, I'm being molested. Now, these boys grew up and they started handing out flyers. To make a very long story short, eventually this got to one cardinal, who basically kind of went, yeah, well, you know, and just kind of let it slide. That cardinal went on to be, you want to guess? The Pope. And this movie has now come out to say, again, this is based on what George Robb found from this movie that goes through the whole thing, that now it's kind of light is shining that the Pope, potentially, based on this movie that was relayed to me by George Robb, knew about these boys being molested. Because what they did is the guy, the headmaster dude at the school, they just transferred him. They didn't, you know, and eventually he almost came to trial. But basically, they're kind of saying in this movie that the Pope knew about it. The guy that became Pope knew about this and didn't really do anything besides move the guy, which kind of makes the Pope look or now the ex-pope look bad. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, because nobody's talking about that on the media. And when I listened to Robert Chastute, now, again, does this mean wow content equals conspiracy theory? No, but in many cases, people are doing the reporting that reporters should be doing. You know, when I listened to Dan Klass's episode about how you always hear about these random shootings and people getting, you know, in this case, somebody went into a lawyer's office and blew away a bunch of lawyers. Well, one of those lawyers was Dan's uncle. And he talks about what it's like to go to a funeral when Channel 5 is outside your door and they're sticking microphones in your face. And the fact that they keep talking about, you know, Uncle Rob or whatever, or they keep talking about Robert so-and-so. And he's like, that's not Robert so-and-so, that's Uncle Rob. And he explained the behind the scenes of what it's like, because you always wonder about that. You see that on the news and just what a horrible situation that is. I was like, I couldn't get out of my car. And to me, that's the epitome of great content. When I'm listening to a podcast and I've got it plugged into my car and I'm home from work, and I'm going to sit in the driveway because I want to hear the end of this story. That's great content. So what is great content? Great content is, and again, okay, just bear with me. This isn't a sermon. I'm going to talk about church. Churches that are flourishing, churches that are growing, because right now, churches are dying on a scary, extremely regular basis because people are doing the same old, same old, same old. They're not changing with the times. That's a whole nother. Go over to growyourchurchshow.com if you want to hear more about this. The churches that are growing are going into their community. They are finding out what pains their community has, and they are then going and addressing that pain, that need, that want, which then makes that church, in this case, a valued resource in the community, and people then go, wow, the key word, wow, this doesn't seem like the other things I hear about other churches. This one stands out, and you got to come to my church. The church I go to bought how many bulletproof vests? 500, something like that? Do you remember the number?
I think it was 100.
Yeah, it was a lot. Because those things are, that's right, I think they were $500 a piece. Mm-hmm. And we bought bulletproof vests, not to get the sheriffs to come to our church, but just to say we care about you. They found a need. They found a want. They went to those people in the community and healed their needs. And the church I go to is growing by leaps and bounds. So again, what is wow content? What is wow content? Something that makes people laugh, cry, think, groan, educate, or entertain. And so whatever genre you're in, the key to that, you'll see, is step one, go to your community. And sometimes you're like, I don't have a community. I don't have an audience. How's that going to work? Well, you are passionate about your topic. And so have a guesstimate. We talked about the Addy approach. We're going to wrap things up here, right? So you come up and you analyze what you think your community needs, and you design your podcast, and you develop your artwork, and you implement your podcast, and you put out 5 episodes. And you know what? Turns out your community doesn't need what you thought it needed. It would rather hear about this. And so what do? You go back and you analyze the feedback you're getting from your audience, and you redesign your episodes. You make them shorter. You make them longer. You do whatever it is. You add transition music, whatever they need. You do them. You implement the podcast. You put it out and you evaluate. And that then connects with your audience. Maybe you're going to get more feedback and things like that. And you just continue to do that. But it all really comes down to wow content. So today, as we look back on this episode, I answered a bunch of questions from, in this case, Tim and Jan, to kind of get those people that are new to podcasting. And I get these questions a lot. That's why I did them today. Wifey, how did I do on explaining things in plain English?
Just fine.
Okay. I know. I realized that you didn't talk much in this episode, but that means I did a good job.
I just want to know what a levelator is.
A levelator. There you go. A levelator. See, that's why you're here.
Right.
Awesome job. Kudos to you.
Right.
Thank you. A Levelator is a free software. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Levelator, that's Levelator. And it is a software that works on a Mac, a PC, or on Linux, which is another kind of operating system. And you install that. And so if my wife was really, really quiet and I didn't adjust her volume, I could take my WAV file, or if I'm on a Mac, an AIFF file, and you just drag your file and drop it on this little box that says Levelator. And it goes through and automatically makes you louder so that your volume matches mine. And then I can go ahead and put that into my podcast. I don't have to go through and manually edit it in Audacity. I don't have to use whatever. It just basically does it. So as long as you're not a lot less loud than I am, is that even, as long as you're not a lot softer than I am, that'll work great. Now, if you're really, really soft, it will boost you, but it's also going to boost that hiss, and it's going to kind of sound like you're at the ocean because you have this weird kind of whoosh, every time you talk, because it boosts you up, and then when you quit talking, it turns you down because it's hearing that hiss. So it's a cool program, and it's free, or you can use Auphonic, which is another one. So any other questions that didn't make sense? No. And if you'd like to hear if you would actually like to hear my wife talk, you can go over to the Podcast Review Show. That's at podcastreviewshow.com. Again, if you're not interested in an opinion, do not submit your podcast, because we will tell you what's good and we will tell you what's bad. And you can also hear her at healingourmarriage.com. Honey, you've set a record. We are at a minute, an hour and 20 minutes. I've never done a podcast this long in my life. Wow. I can tell you're enthused.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. We talked about looking at your podcast. And I can tell you right now, if I look back at this podcast, I'm going to go, that could have been 3 episodes. But that's what I get. I took 28 minutes to plan this. I didn't think about how long it was going to be. And if I look back on this and go, yeah, that really could have been 2 episodes. I could have had one about looking back and looking at your podcast, and then just one be questions. But people said they wanted longer episodes. I don't think they'll ever be this long again. But thank you so much for tuning in. Everything we talked about today, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/344. And if you are looking to start a podcast, we do have step-by-step tutorials. We have resources, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/links. And if you have a question on podcasting, I do get these on a regular basis. I do answer every single email that comes in, and I would love to hear from you. I'm always looking for people who have the answer to this question, which is because of my podcast, blank. You fill that in. I'm always looking for that answer to share on the show. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in to this record-setting podcast here on episode 344 of the School of Podcasting. And we will see you next week with another episode. I always like to remind you that it is time to live a life worth podcasting about. And I will see you on the inside. Thank you so much. And God bless.